SFM, jou streek, jou frekwensie, jou musiek.
Die menings wat tydens promosiegesprekke op SFM streek radio gedeel word, is die van die gaste en die besighede wat hulle verteenwoordig en weerspieël nie noodwendig SFM streek radio se sienings nie. Die inhoud is vir promosiedoeleindes en vorm nie professionele advies nie. SFM streek radio voldoen aan Suid-Afrika se advertensieregulasies en verseker deursigtigheid en eerlikheid in promosie-inhoud. SFM streek radio onderskryf egter nie enige produkte of dienste wat genoem word nie. Luisteraars moet die inligting onafhanklik verifieer en professionele advies inwin voordat besluite geneem word. SFM streek radio is nie verantwoordelik vir enige besluite wat op grond van hierdie gesprekke geneem word nie.
Sandpiper Cottages in Bochum's Bay ondersteun kus tot kruin, want ons gee om vir die omgewing.
Good morning. We are our weekly program, Kus tot Kruin, and we have the honor of speaking this morning again with Professor Curtis Marion from the Arizona State University, and our subject this morning is archaeology. Archaeology is only there because there's an environment, and the two are just part and parcel of the same picture, really. Good morning, Curtis. Can you give us a little bit of a background of who you are, where you come from, and what are you doing in Mossel Bay, and how long have you been here?
Sure, Fred. I'm a professor at the Institute of Human Origins at Arizona State University in the United States. I'm also an honorary professor at Nelson Mandela University here in South Africa, and I've been the scientific director of the science project at Pinnacle Point since it started in
1999. I think we must have met soon after that.
Yeah, we met right after that. I normally have been spending about 4 months a year out here in Mossel Bay.
Yeah.
Those months are often spent excavating in the sites. And then, of course, we work on the material that we've excavated out at our lab at the Diaz Museum.
The kind of excavation that you did or still do at Pinnacle Point, does that involve local people as well as scientists, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so when I first came here, I set up shop in the local community, and I've hired all local people. And I currently have 5 permanent employees, all local Mossel Bay folk, and they're all based at the Diaz Museum at the Monroe House, where we have our lab.
That's fantastic news. What this means is we had an interview with Curtis a few months ago. It's about 1 year ago. Oh, yes, when you were in the studio here and said that we are probably going to be nominated as a World Heritage Site by UNESCO, and it happened a week after that.
Yeah, so we're approaching the one-year anniversary of the declaration of Pinnacle Point as a World Heritage Site. That happened in July of 2024. I was out here, so that was very exciting. And we had a giant party where, people from all over the province and South Africa came. We had about 150 people here to celebrate it. So it's a big event.
Yeah, you know, many people don't realize the importance of this, but in our talk this morning, you are going to explain something about the World Heritage Site, what it means and what it can mean in the future, and why are you doing that? Let's have some music and then we'll go on to our next insert.
Word deel van ons Facebookblad vandag nog, facebook.com/SFM-streek.
Good morning once again, all the lucky people on the Garden Route. We have the privilege of speaking to Professor Curtis Marion from the Arizona State University. And Curtis, can tell us a little bit about the World Heritage Site at Pinnacle Point. Curtis, over to you.
Yeah, World Heritage Sites are declared by UNESCO, which is an organization within the United States. within the United Nations. And World Heritage Sites have a very high bar to meet. They have to be of universal significance to everybody on the planet. So one could wonder, why is Pinnacle Point so important? Well, there's many great discoveries that have been made there that have told us a lot about the history of the human species. And for example, one of those is that Pinnacle Point is the earliest evidence we have for people eating seafood. And that occurred about 160,000 years ago. And also it has the earliest evidence for advanced pyrotechnologies. So these are fire technologies. And what people were doing prehistorically is they were carefully heating stone to improve its ability to be flaked into stone artifacts.
That's a part of an industry.
Right. I mean, it lays the foundations for our technology, iron technology and ceramics and so on. And then a third major result that came from Pinnacle Point, it has the world's earliest evidence for what we call microlithic technology. So micro means small, lithic means stone.
Yeah.
It's really small pieces of stone that were glued into multifunctional tools like projectile weapons. And it's widely considered a breakthrough technology, and that appears at Pinnacle Point around 73,000 years ago.
Tell me, Curtis, you know, we're talking about people and historical people and ancient people, and there was a time when it seems as if the brain of the people on this planet had developed to such an extent that they acquired cognitive ability and could put two things together to make a better thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, so one of the things that separates humans from all other animals is we have this very advanced cognition and a very special psychology for social learning and cooperation. And we tend to think of those things as a package of modern human behaviors. So scientists like me were very interested in when these evolved, because when they do, they produce us. And of course, modern humans left Africa about 70,000 years ago and spread across the planet.
Yeah, I would like us to talk a little bit about why did humans leave Africa? If this was the origin of modern humans, and modern humans are people like us that can understand and talk and put things together.
Yeah, well, that's a debated topic, and the scientists, we don't have a clear answer for it. So like I said before, modern humans leave Africa 70 to 60,000 years ago. There are other hominins, you know, or archaic humans elsewhere in the world. So Neanderthals were in Western Eurasia, and Denisovans, a species we call Denisovans, were in Eastern Asia. So those areas were inhabited. Mm. But modern humans leave Africa and then replace all those other species of humans. So they're no longer with us.
Well, what an interesting subject we've got this morning. We're going to have a little bit of music, and then Curtis is going to tell us more about what is going on and what is the future.
Psst, jy, ja jy, nou dat ons jou aandag het, vertel jou vriende van SFM en ondersteun plaaslik. SFM, maak elke dag 'n goed vol dag. SFM.
Professor Curtis Marion, yes, Curtis, please. There are so many questions that people haven't got answers for. Maybe you can help us. What implications or what benefits are there for the local communities having these discoveries and having declared Pinnacle Point as a World Heritage Site?
Sure. There is a very large community of tourists across the world who target World Heritage Sites for visits. And these are the kind of tourists that you want. They normally spend a lot of money. They stay for a few days. They're culturally sensitive. And what we hope to do is here in Mossel Bay, out at the Point, establish a world-class outreach center, information center, and research center where we could attract those World Heritage tourists to come all year round and ideally help us with job creation.
Well, I mean, Mossel Bay is here, and Mossel Bay probably offers more to the tourist and to the inquisitive human being than any other coastal town in the world. I mean, because of its marine resources, its historical resources, and its ancient resources and discoveries.
Yeah, sure. I think if we can get those tourists here to Mossel Bay, they're going to see all the beautiful environment and the many activities, learning about sharks and learning about whales and the marine ecology and the fynbos. I think a great package could be put together. But we use the World Heritage Site to lure them here. And then once they get here, we introduce them to the archaeology, but all this other rich offerings that Mossel Bay has.
Well, I mean, World Heritage Site is indeed an honor, because there are not many World Heritage Sites in South Africa, and those that are world-renowned and also very important. We just want to thank you and your university for spending all this time and many years, and I suppose quite a few dollars, to discover these findings and also to make them available for the world. And this center that you're talking about, I think, is very important because people cannot really go down to the caves, everyone. It's a very difficult walk, and it's a very treacherous rock climb some places there. So this center of science will probably take the place of many visits to the cave, but people can get the same experience.
Yeah, so one thing that we hope to do is create a virtual reality experience where people can put on the headsets and the gloves and actually visit the caves while being in the safety of the center at the point without having to climb the 200 steps up and down. And to that end, I brought out a team from Arizona State University just a few days ago who are experts at virtual reality and creation of virtual reality environments. So we're putting that plan into place. So what we need to do now is we need to develop a plan. We need to raise the money and get it funded, and then, of course, build it.
Ah, fantastic news. We're going to end our program off with what are you going to do now with your next week in South Africa? And tell us a little bit about that just after this music.
SFM, maak elke dag een goed voel dag.
Curtis, we in Mossel Bay are very, I said before, privileged, but we are also so pleased that you could pinch off a little bit of your very busy schedule to pop into the SFM radio studio and tell us about the background a little bit. We'll have more discussions with you as months and years go past and as the development at the point will perhaps take place, and we'll get the support of the communities because it means so much and it's an honor to be there. What are you going to do when you leave the studio today and tomorrow? I don't want to be personal, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, sure. So scientific research of the type that we've done here and still do requires big teams of scientists, right? It's not just one or two people. So we have a large group of students right now at our lab, and we're training them, and that includes South African students and students from other countries in Africa and around the world. But in a few days, I have a large group of scientists, international scientists, arriving. And with Richard Cowling, who is a world-renowned scientist, a South African scientist in botany, we're going to meet them in Cape Town. Then we're going to take them on a field trip, scientific field trip, stretching from the West Coast all the way to Mossel Bay to give them a crash course in the Cape Floral region, its archaeology and botany and environment and geology. And then when we end it, we're going to have a workshop. And at scientific workshops, we present our data, our ideas, and we start working on interpreting that material in a collective manner.
Will Mossel Bay and the Garden Route be included in the results that you get from these, and will we be kept up to date? I think that's probably one of your objectives.
Absolutely. So, you know, scientists publish their work often in scientific journals, and while they're available to the public, it's often very technical. So what we want to be able to do, of course, is have a center in Mossel Bay where we then present the results of our studies to the general public in a form that's perfect for them.
That people can understand.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Curtis, and thank you for the Arizona State University and your team that at the moment is doing some analysis of the diggings that you've done. And good luck with your workshop, and we are going to hear from you far more often in the future and keep our public up to date.
I always look forward to coming here and talking about the work.
Kom spandeer 'n paar dae hier tussen die alwyne, melkhoute, noemnooms en kapokbos. Net 'n paar tree van een van die mooiste en veiligste strande in die tuinroete. Die Ekohuisies bied eenvoudige luksheid, ideaal vir paartjies en klein gesinne. Geniet 'n braai by die kaggels of onder die lapas, nes in die ou dae. Net 30 km van Mossel Bay, Diskant Vleesbaai en naby Fransmanshoek. Tennis, sonna en muurbal, dis by die Sandpiper Sportcentrum. Besoek www.sandpiper.co.za of WhatsApp ons by 082-550-4788. Sandpiper, natuurlik betowerend.
Adverteer jou besigheid vandag nog op SFM. Vir meer inligting skakel SFM gerus by 044-801-7811.